Thank you so much, Donna. Hey, good morning. I tell you, you guys are looking good. Give everybody the central wave this morning. And remember, do the good one. Look around. This gives you a chance to look around, see who all's here and who's not here, so you can harass them a little bit later on. I see you, brother. It's like old preacher says, yes, I see that hand. But anyway, we're so glad you're here today. Listen, if you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito. So we include those that are part of our online audience. You're part of our family as well. And as always, we want you to know that you have an advocate sitting right here in the sanctuary in our own Dr. John Cazito. If you have any questions that he can answer, if he can't answer them, like I've said before, he will get you an answer to them. And we're glad that each and every one of you are joining us today on a damp Sunday morning. But even though it's a little rainy outside, all I can say is God is good. And all the time, God really, really is good. Let's look to him in a word of prayer as we begin today. Father, as we come to you again, we thank you, and we are grateful for these opportunities. Lord, I pray that we will truly not neglect the opportunities that we have to be able to gather together as your children. Lord, the opportunity to grow in your grace and grow in your strength and grow in your word, because, God, you truly are good to us. Lord, I think at times we can take for granted the privileges that we have to be able to come together in freedom. And Lord, we thank you for those freedoms. Lord, we thank you for each and every U.S. soldier that's willing to protect those freedoms. And Lord, we pray for those that are here in our midst. But Lord, we also pray for those who are overseas that are protecting the freedoms that we enjoy. And Lord, so often we take for granted. But Lord, today I pray that you will help us to tune our hearts and our minds into what you have to tell us today. Lord, I pray that we would be receptive to your word, that Lord, we wouldn't be here just going through the motions, but Lord, we came for a blessing. For Lord, we know that if we've come for a blessing, we will receive it because your word does not return void. So Lord, help us as we prepare our hearts to meet you in this place today and speak to us loudly and clearly. And then Lord, we pray you'll give us the courage to act and react on the things that you show us. So Lord, we're thankful that we're two or three are gathered together. There you are in the midst. So Father, we know you're here today. And we ask for some great and incredible things in our own lives personally and Lord, also in our life corporately as a church. So bless this time as only you can. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please turn with me to number 4 or the screen. To God be the glory. Let's stand as we sing.
To God be the glory. Great things he had done. So the Son, and give him the glory. sing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our victory, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Number 10, How Great Thou Art.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Amen? All right. Today we're going to be looking at scriptures that come out of Isaiah chapter 6, Old Testament book of Isaiah chapter 6. As you find that, I want to once again remind you that our team Cuba will be preparing, or we're preparing even as we speak, for our departure, which will be on the oddball day of this year. Now, when I say the oddball day of this year, this is leap year. How many of you all remember that? This is leap year. That means we've got that extra day. We've got that 29th. So we are leaving on the day that typically on the calendar does not exist. We had to leave a day early just because of flight schedules and whatnot to get us over there. We are in that time where we are taking up the offering that we'll be using to do ministry while we are in Cuba. As always, I like to mention to you that those that are going on the team have raised their support to be able to go outside of the church, so that anything that comes in through the church goes specifically for ministry function while we were over there, you know, on the field. So I wanted to share. I usually like to share with you some of the things that happens along the way, just like, you know, last week. This week I want to share the story of last year when we encountered Joelcus again. Now, Joe Elkus is a young pastor. I really like this guy. He was one of those fellows that was raised in the mountains, but they actually have him serving in the city of Santiago, and they have placed him in an apartment complex. Now, this is something like you would see in New York or someplace to that nature. I mean, just building after building after building, family after family after family, child after child after child. Now, for those of you who may not know, in Cuba, they are not allowed to build churches. You may, through the times that we've been going, you may have seen some churches that look pretty much like a traditional church. If you see those, that's because they were built pre-revolution, pre-1958. Today, if a church is to be built, it's not really called a church. It's a house. So essentially what happens is pastors will go out and build a house. Now, what that basically means, it would be like if we did this, except I would have a bedroom in the back. That's how that would work. It's the pastor's house, but it is built so that it can that it can function as a church. Well, Joe Elkus, we've known him for quite a while. We see him each and every year when we go. We have visited his church, his apartment where he lives. In that apartment complex, the whole living room is basically the church. It is set up as such. So we have been many times, and he talked years ago about the dream and the vision that God had given him of being able to build a church in the midst of that complex. They have a yard, and yet some of that was essentially for sale. Now, you also have to understand that when you buy something, you don't really buy it. The government still owns it all, but you get use of it. So that was Joe Elkus' dream, and for the last 7 years, actually it would be eight this coming year, but when we went last year, for 7 years, they had been working on raising the money to be able to purchase this property to be able to do this church. And the guy that was selling it said that he wanted his payment in U.S. dollars. Back in those days, the U.S. dollar was worth a little bit more, particularly to them. I'm not going to get into how they exchanged that because I don't really know all of the ins and outs. All I know was that the guy wanted U.S. dollars. Well, as we arrived in Cuba last year, we learned that there was a lot of things that had changed through the time of the pandemic. And one of those things that had changed was that they essentially are going to, for all intent and purposes, a currentless system, which means that they now have what they call an MCL card. So their monies are on an MCL card. They're not necessarily using cash dollars. So we also found out that as we arrived, they no longer had what they call the Cuban convertible or the CUC, which is money that outsiders used as opposed to the Cuban pesos, which the Cuban people used. So we rolled up into Cuba with essentially our money to pay our bills and everything else in U.S. cash dollars and no way to be able to spend them. So do you think that I got worried about that? No. Let me tell you why. Because I've known that God's had a plan all along, and I still do. I didn't know what that plan was, but I knew I needed to keep my eyes open to see what it is that God wanted to do along the way with this what apparently seemed like a fairly desperate situation. So we got there and had the opportunity to meet with Joe Elkus, saw him over at the convention office, and we had a meeting with a lot of the pastors, and Joe Elkus got to share his heart with me, and he said, you know, with all the teams that had been traveling over here, we were able to raise or convert our money into U.S. dollars. And he said, then I went to purchase the land from the guy, and I think he got spooked because of the MCL card. And he said he wanted his payment in Cuban pesos. Well, that was a lot easier at that particular point for him to change U.S. dollars into Cuban pesos. It was probably black market, but nonetheless, it actually worked out well for them. All the way up until the point where by the time they finished getting that converted, he went to pay the guy. The guy said, okay, the economy stabilized. I want my money in U.S. dollars. Okay, for 7 years, it had taken that long not only for them to raise that money, but to convert it into U.S. dollars. So all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to a thick-headed numbskull like me. And I said to Joe Elkus, I said, well, Pastor, I said, do you trust me? And he says, I trust you absolutely. He said, even the little bit of time we've served together, He said, you are a brother of mine. You are called by God. I looked at Pastor Donis, and I said, Pastor Donis, do you trust me? And he just laughed, and he goes, oh, you know I trust you. I said, okay. I said, Joelkus, I said, give Pastor Donis your MCL card, and we'll see you on Thursday. Without any questions asked, he handed that MCL card to Pastor Donis, and we went about our way. You see, then we had to pay our bills. We had to pay our room and board and all those things, so we went down to do that. And I said, okay, figure up the total of what we owe. And I said, okay, Pastor Donis, get out that MCL card and pay it. And then when we did the things like the church provided coffee for the senior center for what we hope was about a year or at least a half a year. So when we were buying coffee, it was like, Pastor Donis, swipe that MCO card. Every single thing we did all week, we rode that plastic until it was about to fall apart. And then what happened was the night before we went to meet with Pastor Joelkus, I said, Pastor Donis, will you sit down and figure out how much we spent and what that would be in U.S. dollars? So we met the next day with Pastor Joelkus, and I said, Pastor, while we were here this week, we had U.S. dollars we couldn't spend, and you needed U.S. dollars. And I said, so the bottom line is we used your card all week, and this is how much we spent. But instead of giving it to you in some sort of Cuban pesos, we're going to pay you in U.S. dollars. So what we did was we took our money and put it across the table and converted every bit of their money back in to U.S. dollars so they could go and purchase the property to build the church. I say all that to say this. That was you guys. That was God using you to create a miracle that they needed over there, even though you didn't know it. Now, we could have said, you know what? I don't exactly know how we're going to do this because we got money we can't spend. But the one thing that I've learned in my time of following the Lord is simply this. He's always got a plan. And he will always take care of his children. He will always take care of those who were going out in his name. What a blessing that was to be able to sit back and say, here's your money. 7 years. And then all of a sudden, this tremendous letdown. I wish you could have seen the look on his face. As a matter of fact, the only thing I didn't think about was maybe getting a photo or a video when that time came about. But you talk about joy. Hopefully, as we go back this year, we will be able to go and visit that property that has been purchased. And I'd say all that to simply say, God used you because he led your heart to give to this offering, because you entrusted your missionaries to go and be a part of the kingdom's work in our uttermost parts of the world. Hopefully, before long, there will be a church that will be on that property. I'm sure there's other hurdles that they'll have to overcome to be able to put a structure up. But yet, I believe with all of my heart that as God has opened those doors, we've seen him move in an incredible way. So I wanted to just share with you little tidbits about what God does with the offerings that you give that go to support our team. And then I encourage you to seek the Lord's will about what he would have for you to give to our Cuba mission team. And once again, to let you know, every dime that you give to that goes to Cuba. It's not going to support those that are going on the trip. Everybody has already paid their way to be able to go. And the monies that are collected through Central Baptist Church will be used for endeavors such as that you heard about today. In being able to perpetuate ministry over there in Cuba. One of the other things is that we continue to support the annual salary of the Awana missionary over there. You've heard me speak that, but folks, even though you hear me say that, the one thing that you have to understand is for those years that we weren't able to go because of the pandemic, he scraped by as best he could with what he had, and yet he remained faithful to continue to do what God had called him to do. It was a blessing this past year to be able to go and say, here is your salary. We put it in the Eastern Baptist Convention, and the Eastern Baptist Convention actually pays his salary that you fund as God has given you. Now, I say that to simply say this. We use what you give. If you don't give it, we don't have it to use. There are certain ministries that we perpetuate over the year to empower the nationals to do ministry while they're there, and that's what we're looking for again this year. So as the Lord leads you, I pray that you will contribute to the Cuba offering. If you would like to give to that, you can take one of those envelopes. Either you can get an envelope in the narthex, you can get one, probably some in the backs of the pews, and all you have to do is write Cuba on it. That's all you've got to do. It will go into the Cuba designated fund. We will convert that, and we will be able to take that with us as we go to be able to do this ministry. So I just want you to know that what you're doing here makes all the difference in the world, plus your prayers. As we prepare to go. Now, like I said, we've got four guys that are going. You'll hear more about that. And I appreciate Helen saying, how come you hadn't told us who they are? Well, I'm going to tell you who we are. It's myself, Steve Kelly, Mike Stone is going, and Ken Allred. Those are the four that we have that are going on the trip this year. You will continue to hear a little bit more from us as we make preparation to go. The end of this month, so that we will be there for the first week in March. So please give as the Lord leads. I ask that you would pray about what God would have for you to do, that we might continue to see some great and exciting miracles take place. Now, as we get over into the Lord's Word today, it's not really an unfamiliar passage. It's passages that come out of Isaiah chapter 6, and this is dealing with Isaiah's vision. Now, there are millions of Christians that are walking this world today that are living below their potential. We've all heard that word. We've probably used that word, the word potential. I've always defined potential as this. Potential, definition of potential, you just hadn't got there yet. That means that you have everything that it takes, but you just hadn't quite got there yet. And there are millions of Christian people today. I'm talking about those who know the Lord, who are living below that particular potential. Yet we get caught up in the rut of unchanging routine. We just do things over and over and over. You've heard me define a rut as a grave that's opened up on both ends. But we can get in a rut, and when we get in a rut, we tend to go on cruise control. These are people who are busy with their feet, but yet their lives are barren. You realize you can do all the right things, but you can do them for the wrong reasons. I've known that. I've seen it. And folks, if we're honest with ourselves, each and every one of us at times have been guilty of doing that. You're doing something the right way, or you're doing the right thing, but you're doing it for all the wrong reason. The heart is not necessarily in the right place. These are people that are active, but they feel like they accomplish so little. So what is missing from the lives of these folks who are discontented today? And here's the thing. It could even be one of you that's sitting here. It could be somebody in our viewing audience that you sit back, and it kind of comes out like this. It's like, you know what? I know the Lord. I know I'm saved, but something just doesn't seem or feel right. And you don't know what it is. Maybe it's the fact that you have just been religious for a lot of years. Now, let me make this statement once again, and you've heard me make it many, many times from this pulpit. God did not save you to sit. He saved you to serve. He saved you to be active. I think many, many times of those, and sometimes we sit back and say, well, you know what? I'm going to leave it up to somebody else. I'm going to let somebody else do that. I've done my time. I've served my turn. And folks, as long as God gives us life and breath, we're not done, and He's not done with us. I think about the age of those that He used, particularly with Israel. Think about Caleb as he went into the promised land. He was over 80 years old. Think about that. When the land was divided, he said, look, don't treat me like I'm a senior citizen. Don't you dare do that. You treat me like one of God's warriors. Give me the tough stuff. Bring it on. What's missing in those lives? See, they've never experienced the true adventure of full surrender. It's like, Lord, I'll let you have this area of my life, but stay out of this area. Lord, I'm gonna do this thing over here, but I'm not gonna do this, over on this particular side. Folks, the Lord doesn't call for partial surrender; He calls for total surrender. See, these are folks that are missing the joy of involvement in the greatest work on earth. Let me make you a promise: there is no greater work than the Lord's work. Did you hear me? Now, I know. Now, so if we hear that and if we believe that, then let me ask you this. How are you participating in that today? You see, I believe that so many people are so caught up in the things of the world. And by the way, you got to keep a check on this. So caught up in the things of the world. And that could even include jobs and everything else. Now, trust me when I tell you, I understand that you need to work to pay the bills. I get that. But what is the priority and what is the heart? I think that we're so involved in so many things, but we're involved in all the wrong things. When you begin to think about it, what difference is what you're doing now going to make for the sake of the kingdom for all of eternity? Let me give you a reminder that's a biblical reminder. The biblical reminder is that God told us this: life is but a vapor that appeareth for only a short while and then vanisheth away, compared to all of eternity. If you're sitting there and watching your coffee pot or your steam kettle or your pan of chili on the stove and you see a little wisp of steam come up and then disappear, that is the equivalent of your life in all of eternity. So what are we putting our stock and our efforts and our energies into? Are we living for this life or are we living for the next life? The greatest work that you will ever accomplish are works for the kingdom. Now I'm going to make some people mad, okay? Getting ready to make you mad. Let me tell you something about Central Baptist Church as long as I'm a pastor. Are you ready? We will never cancel church for a football game. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? We don't do that around here because the kingdom's efforts are far more important than who wins Super Bowl 58 tonight. And by the way, you can still come to church and you'll still be there by halftime, and you should miss halftime anyway because you probably don't need to see that. Before you go to bed, you'll know who will win. But what is more important? I will not cancel church for a football game. Now, you can do what you want to do. But Central will have Bible study tonight. Central will have Awana tonight. And we're going to enjoy it. Plain and simple. You see, for me, the kingdom is far more important than a ball game. What if we canceled church over a ball game and the Lord had somebody's heart ripe to be able to come to know the Lord? And what would happen if someday that person slips into hell because we chose a football game over God? I'm not having that on my hands, not having that on my heart. But you see, there are a lot of people who are unfulfilled. They're missing the joy of being involved in the greatest work on earth. Man, I tell you, I get excited when I get to go to the mission field. Remember, part of my testimony was that I told you before, I said, Lord, I will serve you, but I don't want to do mission work. This is when he first called me into ministry. I said, I don't want to do that. I said, I don't look good in them little shorts and that pith helmet. I don't like mosquitoes and bugs. I don't want to do that. See, I had stereotyped what that was like. I had stereotyped what a missionary was. I said, man, Lord, I don't want to do that. Remember what I said a minute ago about total surrender? God doesn't want partial surrender. He wants total surrender. And when I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want to do. I'll go wherever I want to go, but I don't want to leave the United States, and I don't want to be a missionary. And the Lord said, that's not good enough. See, it wasn't until I said, Lord, okay, look, wherever you send me, here, there, where, I'll go. Then the Lord said, now I've got you. Now, he hadn't sent me, you know, to the jungles of Africa or somewhere like that, but he has sent me to a place like Cuba. And let me tell you this. It's like a family reunion. I'm like a little kid getting. It's kind of like if you were flying into Orlando and you look down on Disney World and you get all excited about it. Because, see, we have cultivated brothers and sisters in Christ over there. We have worshiped together. We love one another. And unless you've been, you can't understand that. I thank you for your prayer support. I thank you for your financial support. I thank you for what God has done through you. But man, what a joy it is to get over there and serve the Lord. To get over there and preach myself to death. And they turned the pulpit over to me just like I was one of theirs. They loved me just like I was one of theirs. See, usually we're there, it's pastor appreciation. They even recognized me at pastor appreciation and gave me a Spanish Bible as a thank you gift. Because I'm one of them. They've numbered me with their crowd, the pastors over there. If they're introducing pastors, Pastor Donis and all the rest of them will grab me and they'll drag me on up there as well. Now you talk about looking out of place. There's the fat white guy amidst all these other Cuban pastors. I stick out like a sore thumb. And guess what? They love me. They love me. They listen to me. They work with me. They work for us. And they love us. Listen, when the crew that cooks your meals sheds tears when you leave, that's pretty special. It's a pretty special thing. So how can we make some life-changing? Now, I didn't forget the scripture, and don't worry, I'm not going to preach like extremely late. I'm going to hit the points quick and hard. So when we get to Isaiah's vision that we see in Isaiah chapter 6, we hear some life-changing words that were given to Isaiah. Look with me, if you would, Isaiah chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am unclean, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged.' Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. I pray that your words have permeated our heart. Lord, that you would help us to see what it is that you desire from each and every one of us. Lord, may we take on the same challenge that you presented to Isaiah himself. And Lord, may we become all that you want us to be for the sake of the kingdom. Not for our own sake, but for the sake of the kingdom. So Lord, bless us and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, I like that last part. See, this is Isaiah responding to the vision. It is Isaiah responding to what was said to him. Now, I want to carry you down to verse 8 because it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord." Notice what that is, the voice of the Lord. Not the voice of a neighbor, not the voice of a family member, not the voice of some career officer or whatever, the voice of the Lord. It says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Who shall I send and who will go for us?'" That is a question that is being posed. By the way, God can answer each and every one of his questions. But he posed that. And see, here's the thing. Today, as his messenger, I am posing to you that exact same question that he posed to Isaiah. Who shall I send? Who will go for us? Imagine Jesus walking in and saying, "Okay, we got this opportunity. Who's going to sign up?" Let me just be honest with you, folks. We don't do good with sign-up sheets, do we? We don't like sign-up sheets. Because if we sign up for something, that means we committed ourselves to it, doesn't it? So what we do is we lay back. Yeah. "Hey, look, we're having a picnic. Sign up." David gets 20 names and 80 people show up. Okay, well, what if we only bought 20 hamburgers? Somebody's going to be half in their hamburger with somebody else. And see, what we do is because we don't want to be committed or dedicated to it because something else may come up. But if I put my name on that paper, there's an expectation that I'm going to be there. And you're right, there is. But you see, instead of us putting our name on the paper, not showing up, we've just gotten to the point where we just don't put our name on the paper. Because if we look down that list at the picnic and your name's on there and you're not there, then you're sitting there saying, "Well, somebody's going to say something about me not showing up." And by the way, if you put your name on the paper and didn't show up, there was a hamburger and a hot dog that was bought for you that somebody paid for. Hey, Jesus comes in. He says, "We have got to reach the world. We've got some kingdom's work that we got to get done. Who's with me?" And what are we going to do?
Excuse me, I got to go to the bathroom real quick. I'll be right back.
See, we try to get out of it. Why? Because we're afraid God's going to ask us to do something that's hard, and he will. We're afraid God's going to ask us to do something that's going to cost us some time, and it will. We're afraid God's going to ask us to do something that's going to cost us some money, and it will. Listen, serving the Lord is not convenient. It's inconvenient. But the Lord's saying, who's going to go for me? Hands up. Who's going to go? And oftentimes he gets the response I just got. See, I know what you were doing. You were sitting there saying, does he really want us to raise our hand? Is it a real question? No, see, I wouldn't do that to you, but let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit's doing that to you. That's what the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart. Who shall I send? There's a comma there. See, I call that the dramatic pause. Hey, guys, it'd be like me standing up and say, we're getting ready to go to Guatemala. Who's going to go? Anyone? 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 No, see, I know that there are hands that would go up in here. I know that. But the Lord is saying, who's going? And then, see, I have a feeling that Isaiah, when this thing took place, let me carry you back to verse 8. It says, and then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? Pause. Who will go for us? I think Isaiah realized that in the midst of his vision that he probably went. Ain't nobody else here but me. And then he says, here am I, Lord. Send me. I'll go. I'll do it. I'll go. See, I call those life-changing words. When Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, this is me, I'll go for you. They were words that changed his life as well as the lives of others. So how can we make these life-changing words for each and every one of us? Let me give you three quick things. First of all, as we read in verses 1 through 4 of our text, we have to see God as he is. See, Isaiah lived in a very wicked time period in life, in a wicked time period in his nation's history. You know, his people had forsaken the Lord. Violence was filling the land. Immorality was rampant. You know, drunkenness was rampant throughout. Boy, does that sound familiar? That was what was going on in Isaiah's day. And you see, King Uzziah had been Isaiah's hope for the nation. We're going to put our stock in Uzziah. Uzziah's doing a good job. He's got the right heart. You know, he's got the heart for God, and he can make some changes. He's got the platform. He's in that place. And you know what happened? Uzziah died. Kind of sounds familiar, don't it? I mean, at that particular point, I'm sure Isaiah was going, oh, geez, man, now we've lost our muscle. We've lost our contact. We've lost our leadership. What now? It was already a battle without the king, or with the king. It's going to be a tremendous battle without him. So all of a sudden, you hit the panic button. It's at panic point. And Isaiah was given a vision of God in all of his holiness. The holiness of God is revealed throughout the Bible. It's revealed each and every day in you and I. See, changing views of sin does not change God's view of sin. And I want to be very careful because I want to make sure we understand that. Did you understand what I just said? I said, us changing our view of sin or our definition of sin does not change God's view of it. Have you noticed that that's what we do in society today? We don't like to call it something that's bad. We've changed definitions and titles for everything. See, we don't call it homosexuality anymore. We call it alternative lifestyle. Sounds much less threatening, doesn't it? You know, I mean, we try to flower things up. I never thought that there was anything wrong with the term janitor, but believe it or not, it's actually referred to as custodial engineer now. What's all that about? Why? See, what we're trying to do is we're trying to give sin a different name. We're trying to make it be okay in society. And let me tell you what drives me batty, getting up on my soapbox. In America, we bought into this mess. Even in my short life, well, I guess it's not as short as it used to be, but in my lifetime, things I never, ever thought I would see a sane, intelligent person accept, we accept as normal today. Well, last time I checked, God still calls it sin. And if God calls it sin, I don't care if you color, remember that old term, us, we country folk in here, right? Y'all heard that term, putting lipstick on a pig? You can put all the lipstick on a pig that you want, but guess what it still is? It's a pig. We got to quit putting lipstick on pigs. We got to start calling it what it is. We got to stand up. And let me tell you what happens in our society today. When you stand up for that, you get attacked. You're going to get attacked. Listen, you better get a little bit thicker skin if you're going to be a Christian. I've told you before, I love getting older because I really don't care. If the Bible calls it sin, I'm going to call it sin, and I don't care what you think of me. I don't care what you call me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words ain't going to hurt me because I'm right and you're wrong. Nah, 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 nah. And this is what tells you, this is the standard, this is what it is. That's why it needs to stay that way. You see, if we're going to alter our life in the way that Isaiah's life was altered, we have to see God as He is. Secondly, we must see ourselves as we are. We see that in verses 5 through 7. Isaiah experienced old-fashioned conviction of sin. When is the last time you have experienced some good old-fashioned conviction of sin, where God reached down, He got your heart, and He squeezed it until tears came out of your eyes because of some things that you were doing that were against Him? When's the last time that it broke your heart because the sin that you were committing was hurting the Father? You see, Isaiah had been made aware of the holiness of God when he was in His presence. Now, I know what a lot of people would say. A lot of people say, well, I'll tell you one thing. If I was in the presence of God, I'd probably have a change of heart too. Well, guess what? You just walked right in it because you are in the presence of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with you. Where you go, what you do, what you say, He's hanging out right here, right now. He's looking at each and every one of you. He knows what your heart says, and He's asking the same question. Who's going to go for me? You see, first of all, you're going to have to see yourself as God sees you. You see, when Isaiah did this made him aware of his own sinfulness. When is the last time we were convicted of sin that we heard it so loudly and plainly that our sin broke our heart? Think about that for a moment. You see, when Isaiah realized this, when it was brought to his attention, you notice what he said? He said, "Woe is me. I am undone." He didn't try to make excuses for his sin. He didn't try to cover them up. He didn't try to run from them. He confessed them. He says, "Woe is me. I am undone." He said, "I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." How long has it been since you measured yourself by God's perfect standard? You see, we measure ourselves all the time, but we're not holding our measuring stick up to God. We're holding our measuring stick up to somebody else. Because we can always say, and remember, you've heard me say this before. How many times have we said, "Well, you know what? I might not be what God wants me to be, but thank God I'm not like him. Thank God I'm not like her." I'll tell you one thing. I may not be what I should be, but I'm better than old Bill. Yeah. When you compare me to Bill, folks, you're not to compare yourself to Bill. You're to compare yourself to Jesus and the Father. That's who you compare yourself to, and I will make you a guarantee you, you're going to come up short. How long has it been since you measured yourself by God's perfect standard? Not your own, but His. Have you been excusing your sins? Have you been letting them, well, you know, I'm not perfect. Is that what you've been doing? Have you been comparing yourself to others so that you will look good? See, that's what we do. We compare ourselves to others. Tell you one thing, I may not be the best Christian in the world, but compared to old Don, let me stand by Don. That's going to make me look better. You're not out of the woods either. I'll stand by Mark. I'll stand between Mark and Don, and I'm going to look real good. Guys, you know I love you. But see, we can always look good when we compare ourselves with other people because we won't compare ourselves with somebody that's doing better than us. We'll always compare ourselves with somebody who's not doing as good as we are. See, we need to confess our sins and be made clean. That's what we need to do. And finally, we must see the world as God sees it. I want to carry you back over real quick to verse 8 for just a minute because I think this is extremely important. When he said, also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Send for what? Send into the world to tell the world about the message of salvation. Who shall I send? Folks, we can sit here all day as a bunch of saved people and watch the rest of the world go to hell around us. When is the last time we were more concerned about the people outside of these walls than the people inside of these walls? See, that was his mission. His mission is that there's a lost and dying world that needs to hear the salvation message. Who's going to go? We're getting up a load. Who's going to go? You see, we can sit back and say, we're going to get up a load to go outside the walls of this church. See, there's some things I'm starting to understand as well. We use that verse all the time, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, let me tell you something that I have realized over the last 20 years right here at Central Baptist Church. Our Jerusalem is no longer our Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem has become our Samaria. Now let me put a little context to that. You see, we're not like we used to be. Our community is not like it used to be. See, the Samaria means people not like us. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? He was a Good Samaritan because he was different, you know, than the one that was on the ground. He was different than the other two that came by. See, our Samaria is people that are not like us. And Oak Ridge has changed. How many of y'all that live here would say Oak Ridge has changed in the past 20 to 30 years? You know it. Listen, one night you went to bed and it was old man Kelsey's pond, and the next day you woke up and it was Lake Tahoe. That's the way it is. You see, our Jerusalem isn't our Jerusalem anymore. Our Jerusalem is our new Samaria because the people around here don't look like us anymore. So what do we do to reach them? Jesus put us at 1715 Highway 68 for a reason. And he says, now we need to identify our Jerusalem. We need to identify once again our Judea. We need to identify our Samaria. And we need to once again re-identify our uttermost parts of the earth. You see, we must see the world as God sees it. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? See, a lost and dying world was the reason for God's call. Five life-changing words. Here am I, send me. Glad I got that counted up right. Here am I, send me. Could you answer that in that fashion today? Five words. Isaiah's response launched him on the greatest adventure of his life. And you know what? It'll launch you on the greatest adventure of your life as well. And by the way, folks, if we do this right, it's a lot of fun to do. I have had more fun doing missions than I ever thought I would. I've had more fun doing discipleship than I ever thought I would. I have drawn closer to people through that. And man, what a great and glorious thing it is. Because it's not just Sunday go to meeting. It's being a part of people's lives. It's being used by the Father, being His hands, His feet. His voice in other people's lives. And the cool part is we've been able to do that together. We've been teammates. And I love my teammates. I really do. But we got to get in the game. See, Isaiah would spend the rest of his life telling people about God. Ask God to enable you to see lost people as he sees them. I want to challenge you to make that part of your prayer. I challenge our ladies that have begun to pray to make that part a part of your prayer. God, let me see people the way you do. Because I will make you this promise that when you begin to see people the way God sees them, it is going to change your life. It is going to change everything about you. It's going to change your ministry. Because one day, instead of just passing somebody by, you're going to see them and your heart is going to be burdened for them. And you will spring into action because there will be burden there. I was talking to a church growth specialist this past week. And I was sharing the same thing I told you here about our Samaria. I said, we've kind of changed around up in the area. And he started naming all these things. I said, but we got an opposite problem that most people have when their Samaria changes. And he said, what's that? I said, well, most people, what happens is when their Samaria changes, it's because neighborhoods have changed. And the neighborhood hasn't gone in a good way. It's gone downhill. It's gone lower income. I said, Oak Ridge didn't go that way. Oak Ridge went a different way. It went with the wealthy people that don't feel like they need God for anything. I said, put that in your church growth pipe and smoke it. And if you got some answers, let's talk. I said, the food pantry ain't what we need. I said, what do you do? How do you get to people who write a check and their problems are solved? It's a different world right here, but let me tell you what I know. God has called us to reach it. And we sit back and go, yeah, I do the same thing. But you know what? I do the same. That's why I led with my story about Cuba. Not just to ask you to contribute to it, but to sit back and say, you know, when I left and we went wheels up and landed in Cuba, I had no idea how we were going to make it. I was like, I got all the money in the world and I can't spend it. How are we going to do ministry? We can't. And God showed up. And he showed up in a great and an incredible way. Makes me just giggle. God's going to show up here, and he's going to do some incredible things. I ask you today, what is your answer to God's challenging call in your life? Who's going to go for us? Who shall I send? And I always like when somebody would ask you that question. I remember as a police officer, they're like, yep, we got to send somebody in. Who's going to go? He's giving you that look. Where are my volunteers? Who's going to go? Oh, man, gee, I don't know if I can do that, Lord. That's bad for my hands. I got to pick up the kids. You got 10,000 reasons why not to. Listen, how about coming up with the one reason to do exactly what God's called you to do? What is the one reason? Because you want to be pleasing to him. All right, who's going to go? I'll go, Lord. Get a little tired of hanging out with these people anyway. Let's go on an adventure. Let's get on the road. Let's get off the merry-go-round and get on the roller coaster. Y'all remember my illustration? Let's get on the roller coaster. And you know what? God might even put you on the slingshot. Y'all seen that one, hadn't you? That thing scares me to watch. They put you in a ball. Bring that rubber band down, shoot you up in the sky. I've seen people screaming and passing out on that thing. That's probably where I'd be. But you know what? When I got done, I'd be like, wow, that was a cool ride. God wants to send you on the greatest adventure of your life. Isaiah's five-word answer gave him a purpose for living. Hear my Lord, send me. Will we make Isaiah's commitment in life the same as ours? See, when Isaiah did that, I will make you this promise. Isaiah's life was never boring again. And neither will yours be. I love serving the Lord. And I'll tell you, time is short. Time's real short. I was thinking about it the other day, and sometimes you get to thinking about it. Have you ever had, if you've been thinking about something and then it just blew your mind that you were like, whoa. I thought the other day as I was sitting there and I looked and I was communicating with some of my friends that I grew up with, some that I went to college with, some that I worked with, and most of them are retired. And then it dawned on me, if I'd have stayed with Lynchburg PD, I could have retired in 2010 at 20 years. That was the minimum. But even if I did 30, I still could have retired 2 years ago. All my friends are retired. And I sat back and said, wow, have I been in ministry for 32 years? It just seems like yesterday. Because I promise I've had the time of my life. And I wouldn't want to change it for anything in the world. But I'm not laying up treasures here. I'm going to lay them up over there. God says, got a project. Who wants to sign up? Oh, by the way, he's asking you that. You know what he's doing? He's going, I got a project. I need your help. And you know what he says? He even gets to the point where he says, I tell you what, I need a pilot. Don's like, I can't fly, but Bill can. I need some finance people. We got those. I need some people who know how to fix stuff. We got people who know how to do that. I need doctors. Well, we got them. We need mechanics. We got a couple of them. We need professors. God has put us together for a reason. And you are part of what makes the machine work. You are the cog that is needed to make the motor run. Will you willingly step into the engine of God's grace and be what he's called you to be? Brad, I'm going to ask you guys to take your place. We're going to have our time of invitation. First of all, the question is, have you trusted Jesus Christ? Have you just been a religious person all your life? I don't care how religious you are. It's not about being religious. It's about being saved, and there's a difference between those two. Have you called upon the Lord? Have you confessed, Lord, I am a sinner? I know that. And without what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, I will spend eternity. Are you hearing me? Eternity, 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 eternity. Forever and ever and ever and ever, and it keeps on going in the place called hell. Are you willing to bet not only your life, but your eternity on it today? Well, I'm not. God told me as a pastor that I will stand accountable for every person that has ever come through those doors and every sermon that's ever been preached from that pulpit. And if I don't give you Jesus, I will stand there with blood on my hands if you find your way to hell. Well, I'm telling you today, I'm washing my hands. Because here's your chance to accept Jesus. By the way, I can't convict anyone. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. Do you feel it? Can you hear him? He's knocking at your heart's door. Will you open the door and let him come in? Listen, if that's you, I don't even want you to wait. I love what my brother who's with Jesus today, Rodney, always said this. He said, you know what? I may not have my next heartbeat. Let's do it now. Listen, if that's you, you just simply call on the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a lost sinner. I realize that. Forgive my sin. Save my soul. And help me live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I will promise you that if you prayed that prayer with all of your heart and with desperation, then he's written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life right now. But that's just the beginning, folks. That's not the end. Won't you come and be a part of the family? Come and get to know him. Grow in discipleship and watch what he'll do, man. It's a great, great opportunity. By the way, let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We want to help you. Maybe you're here today and you have had, as my granddaddy used to call it, heart dropsy. We have dropped down and don't have the heart to get back up. Pandemic was rough, but it's time to get back in the fight. It's time to get back into spiritual warfare. It is time to be what God wants us to be, not just to sit by idly and watch the world go by. You're going to get punched. You're in a boxing match. You can wear the bathrobe and the shorts all you want to, and you can do this on the ropes, and you can dance around and do all that, but when the bell rings, somebody's coming after you, and I promise you, Satan is. And he's going to try to destroy you. It's time to throw some punches. I've said before, when I get to heaven, I want to say, Lord, I got a bunch of scars from where I was doing what I was supposed to be doing for you, but you took care of me through the whole thing. Life is too short. There's a whole bunch of people I want to see when I get to the other side. People I've served with before. People I've prayed with. People I love. God's going to have to change our heart about what's outside these four walls. And he says, look, see, you're it. Who's going to go for me? He ain't asking somebody down the street. He's asking you. What will you do? Listen, if you trusted Christ, please let me know. Listen, if you're part of our online audience and you trusted Jesus, let Doc Cazito know. We'd love to be able to chat with you. We're not going to bother you or anything like that. We want to celebrate with you. If you need me, I'm here. If you need this old-fashioned altar just to spend a little time and say, Lord, I've been jacking everything up, but I need to get it right starting right now. You can do that. Would you make it right with him as we stand and as we sing our invitation hymn, number 317, Only Trust Him. As Brad leads us.
Come every soul, my sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save.
As you seek the Lord with your head bowed, your eye closed, can you say as you leave this place today that it is well with my soul? I have done business with God today. I have made everything that I can make right, right. I have confessed before him, and I'm walking out of here anew. By the way, this preacher will stand before you with clean hands. Can you say you're walking out of here with Jesus? Because I promise there will be a lifetime, and more than a lifetime, it'll be all of eternity that you'll spend with him. Are you ready for that? As you continue to seek the Lord in prayer, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Our Father, you truly are so, so good to us, and all the provision that we have is a blessing from your hand. Lord, I pray that you will lead us and guide us and help us, Lord, to be faithful to the tithe and, Lord, for the offering of the mission and the ministry that is about to go forward. Lord, I pray that you will work in each and every heart, that your will would be done, and, Lord, that your messengers would be prepared as we go in your name. To reach your people in our uttermost parts of the earth. Lord, we also pray that you give us wisdom around here in our own Jerusalem and Judea, as well as our Samaria, Father, to be wise and to be good stewards of what's yours, that we might use it for the sake that honors the kingdom and the glory, and, Lord, brings others into your presence. So, Father, bless the gift and the giver as you promised that you would do.
and bless us in an incredible way for being faithful to you to return the tithe and the offering as we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Just to let you know, I know that some of you, as you came in today, you know, you had the scent, and I know some of you had said kind of smells like gas or whatever. Wanted to let you know that we have had the HVAC people working the latter part of the week. We do have some issues that are being fixed, but you are not in any danger. I just wanted to let you know that. We're not going to blow up or keel over of carbon monoxide poisoning or anything. There were some parts that were put on that the new parts were defective parts as well. So they're coming back out to change those out. So at any rate, at least it was warmer today, amen, than last Sunday. Hey, God is good. And all the time, God is good. Satan is not going to win, not at all. So, again, we appreciate you. Just wanted to let you know that. Just a couple of quick things. First of all, birthdays this week. Nancy Severs has a birthday coming up on Wednesday. If you have a chance, be sure to drop her a call or a card and just let her know how much you love her. Such a sweet lady. And then this coming Friday, Diane Bloxham and Helen Ledford will be celebrating birthdays. And Helen's usually watching. Hey, Helen, happy birthday this coming week. Continue to pray for Helen as she recovers from the hip surgery over there in Kernersville. But she has a birthday this coming Friday. And then anniversaries this week, Lachelle and Brad McClure. They will have another year together this coming Thursday. So all of us know better how to pray for Lachelle as we continue to ask God's will be done. We love him and we appreciate him. Be sure to wish him a happy anniversary. Just a couple of things notable for today. Today is our normal schedule. My discipleship group will meet at 3:30 over in the conference room in the Family Life Center building. Choir rehearsal is at 4:45 right here in the sanctuary, followed by the 6 o'clock p.m. Bible study with Pastor David right here. We do have Awana at its regular time of 5:30. So we will look forward to seeing folks there as well. Monday, Steve Kelly's D-Life Group, 6:30. Y'all in the conference room of our Family Life Center. That's on Monday, 6:30. Wednesday, every Wednesday at 10 o'clock, men's breakfast at the Olympic restaurant in Colfax. No agenda, just a great time to come and fellowship with other men. Every other Tuesday, Bible study is beginning at Roger and Don Ree's house. That is going to be from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. It starts on February the 13th. And there is a sign up for this in the narthex, or you can contact David Miller, which is right here, or Paul Johansson. Paul was right over there, but there's Paul. There he is. He moved on me. Hey, man, you keeping me going. But Paul Johansson or David Miller, yeah, be sure to see them. They're actually going to be doing a Bible study out of the book of Daniel. What a great, great opportunity that will be. Again, that's meeting at Roger and Don Ree's starting on February the 13th. As a note, there is a second media giveaway. You will see that there have been some more items that have been placed in the narthex. This is round two of a cleaning out up there, so this is not the same stuff you looked at. Be sure to look at what's available back there. If you like it, feel free to take that home with you. Otherwise, we will move that down the road as well. We'll give you a couple weeks on that, but a lot of good books there. If you want them, take them with you. Keep us in your prayers as we prepare for our mission trip, which is actually February the 29th through March the 8th. You will continue to hear a little bit more from us, from our missionaries, by every means that we have, as we ask you to seek the Lord's will and what He would have you give toward this incredible mission. And then also, finally, the only thing I have left is that there are a lot of things that are going on around the church now. Please, if you are needing a room, if you are having a meeting, if you are having an event, please contact either the church office or building and grounds so that we can get that on the calendar. There are so many things. There's something going on here every day of the week, Sunday through Saturday, and at different times and in different locations. We don't mind you using the building. We just need to know so we can put it on the calendar so somebody else won't be wanting it at the same time that you do. The worst thing you can do is have two people show up to have a birthday party at the same time in the same place. So help us out with that. You can contact us through the office, or you can contact Building and Grounds, and we will make sure that we get your reservation on there. Even if it's something that's a quick turnaround, please let us know so we can get that on the calendar. I know the ball game's tonight, but follow your heart. We have a normal schedule around here. God would kill me if I canceled church for a ball game. So I'm going to ask you to do this for me as well. Make a mental note of that, because believe it or not, every year we have some people ask, are we having church tonight? And I'm like, why would we not be? Well, it's a Super Bowl. La-dee-da. Okay? We'll be here tonight. Brother David, come up, see us off in a word of prayer, and mention anything else that I have completely forgotten about.
Let me clarify one thing about the Bible study at Roger's house. You know, they say if you feed them, they will come, about Baptists. We need to make sure this is not a luncheon. This is a Bible study, okay? Not going to be any food served except spiritual food, okay? So we want to make sure you weren't coming planning on eating lunch and having Bible study at the same time. It's a one-shot event, this Bible study, okay? So eat before you come, or planning on getting together with some of the people who are there and going and eating afterwards. You can always combine food with Bible study, just not at the same time, okay? Now, there's one other thing in our bulletin that you need to, it's great that Pastor preached on signing up, because he just talked about one of the events you signed up. There's another one in our bulletin, Camp Carefree Luncheon. Last year we were at Camp Carefree for a week. It's basically the same week. It's the week of the 4th of July, and it's that week because that way their workers get an opportunity to be off for the only time they get off during the summer. But we had about over 30 people that came last year and helped us cook. We're having a luncheon on Thursday, March the 21st at 12 o'clock noon here at the church. It's free for everybody who worked last year. It's an appreciation meal saying thank you for coming. And it's also an opportunity for anybody who didn't go and wanted to last year, planned on going this year, if you want to come and find out what this year's agenda is all about, look at the possibility of coming and working with us at Camp Carefree this year, it's also for you. We just need you to sign up so we know how much food to have. So please sign up and come and be a part of that. Camp Carefree looks like an ongoing ministry for our church, and I love it. You just don't know till you go and watch these children. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house today, for the opportunity that you give us to worship you. Lord, we thank you for the music and the message, and we thank you for the fellowship we enjoy as brothers and sisters together. Lord, as we leave this place, help us to be a witness for you, a positive witness everywhere we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.